Thank you, Victor, for sharing with us. That's good. Good morning, everybody. How are you doing?
Good morning.
So last week, the receiver shared with the church and received prophetic words for this church. So this morning, I want to remind us, what do you do when you receive a prophetic word? What do you do? Because we have responsibility when God speaks to us. Let's just bow our head in prayer. Father God, by your Spirit, we ask you to minister to our hearts and deep into our spirit this morning. Oh God, may our God hunger increase. May our God hunger overtake the hunger for everything else, that our only desire is to follow you, to be obedient to your instructions, that Jesus receive the reward for his suffering. Amen.
Amen.
How does God measure you? How does God measure me? Well, we read in the Bible, and this is what we all expect, that when we come to the end of our life, that God will say, well done, good and faithful servant. He doesn't say successful, but faithful. So faithfulness is what God measures. Are we faithful to his instructions, to his word? So he measures our faithfulness, but what we have done with his promises. His promises are in his word, but also there are promises that are given by the prophetic word. In the Old Testament, I want you to just look at Amos 3:7, these amazing words, where it says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. This is an amazing word, isn't it? This is really an amazing word in the Old Testament. The setting here is, it was a warning to Israel that before the judgment would come, the prophets would be alerted by God and be able to give a warning. And so the Lord says, God does nothing unless he reveals it first through the prophets. Truly an amazing word. Now, then, after the Old Testament, Jesus arrived. Yes, he came. Jesus fulfilled every prophetic word spoken over him. Think about that. Do you all agree that Jesus is our example?
Yes.
Yes. He fulfilled every prophetic word spoken over him. We can see this in Luke 24, verse 44, if you show that. Then he said to them, this is Jesus speaking, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Hundreds and hundreds of prophetic words Jesus fulfilled. How did he do that? Here's the key. The scripture tells us he only did what he saw his Father do. Jesus had his eyes on the Father the whole time. That's how he fulfilled the prophetic words. And Jesus is the way for us. So what do we keep our eyes on the whole time? On Jesus. This is how we can fulfill our prophetic and our God-given destiny by keeping our eyes on Jesus. So wonderful. Then, as the church was born, Paul comes along and he teaches all about the gifts of the Spirit. And then in 1 Corinthians 14:1, he tells us to desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Here's the word desire. In other words, the gifts are not just suddenly just added. No. Seek, press in. Earnestly desire. earnestly desire. And here Paul tells us that all believers can prophesy, and we're to earnestly seek to prophesy. That is why in this church we put on schools so that we can all learn how to prophesy. Step by step, we're learning, we're practicing. So good. And God speaks today. We know that from Acts chapter 2 onwards, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. This is all in the scripture. So when you receive a prophetic word, and when we as a church receive a prophetic word, what should we do? Okay. So the prophetic word last Sunday was recorded, and Chetan sent it out to the church WhatsApp group so you can listen to it. Eliana has very kindly typed out the word as well, so we can also send out the written document so you can read it for yourself. It's not just intellectual hearing that's going to activate the word. Let's read what it says in Proverbs 2, verses 1 to 5. My son, if you accept my words, store up my commands within you, turn your ear to wisdom, and apply in your heart to understanding. And if you call out for insight, I cry aloud for understanding, if you look for it as for silver, silver is very valuable at the moment, by the way. So this is how we have to treat the word of God. We have to treat it like silver and really seek it out. As for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This verse talks to me about God hunger. But so when we hear the prophetic word, we have to use our ears and our eyes and our heart. It is not just an intellectual brain activity, but all of it working together and our spirit being activated. Cry aloud for understanding. So you might get a word, I might get a word, I might not understand it initially. Scripture says, cry aloud for understanding. Press into the Lord to ask for understanding. We've got to be careful not just to initially dismiss things because we don't have the understanding intellectually. We've got to cry aloud. We've got to look for it like we're searching for silver, a hidden treasure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. This is a powerful word. So it talks about ears, hearts, eyes, all different instruments to receive the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding. So how do you know then that it's God speaking? Yeah, it's a good question. Let's embrace all the questions. How do we know it's God speaking and it's not just from a person as such? Well, 2 Corinthians 13:1, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. There's two or three witnesses. The first witness is the word. And the word is Jesus himself, isn't it? It's the Bible. God will never speak anything in a prophetic word that does not align with the word of God. The word of God triumphs every time. So we always weigh it up against the word of God. We weigh it up against the word of God. We weigh it up against the character of God. God is not schizophrenic. He doesn't have two minds. So we weigh it up against the word of God. And the word of God, it should be a confirmation of what the word of God has already said. It should be a confirmation, an affirmation of the word of God. The second witness is the Holy Spirit. 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. So you have the witness of the Holy Spirit. This is where I'm saying it's not just an intellectual process when you receive a prophetic word, because the Holy Spirit inside of you and inside of me will bear witness. You see? This happens in our spirit man. It happens in our spirit man. It's a knowing. 1 John 5:7, I just read it. Three that bear witness: Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. The third witness is the peace of God. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. The peace of God is not swayed by circumstances, but the peace of God will surpass all understanding. So do you have these three witnesses? You check it against the Word. The Holy Spirit confirms. And then the peace of God comes. As you press in to seek understanding, what direction and what God is confirming or speaking, or warning, or correction, or whatever, then there should be the peace of God that comes and gives this confirmation, this is from the Lord. Here's an interesting scripture, 1 Corinthians 14:29. Let two or three prophets speak. Let the others judge. Okay. So there will be some that speak. The others should be judging. Judging what? The word. We judge the word, not the person speaking. Hey, come on, let's just be honest. We all can make mistakes. So we are not judging the person, we are judging the word. So why does Paul say that? Hey, because we are human. It's possible there could be mistakes. Yes, of course it is. So just get over it, okay? Just get over it. There can be mistakes. Though obviously if you want to be in a perfect church, you know, you need to go and start your own, because how are we going to make it? So that's why Paul says, the others judge. It's a normal process. It's a normal process that we judge. You weigh it up. You weigh it up. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:19-21, Paul writes, do not quench the Spirit. So, you know, don't be so upset that you say, oh no, you're not allowed to prophesy anymore because there's been some mistakes. Don't go like that. Paul says, don't do that. He said, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. So this is what the scripture talks about, to prove and to judge prophecy, not the prophets. Have I experienced a prophetic word that wasn't right? Yes, of course I have. It can have serious consequences, but God is much bigger. Come on. God is bigger than that. And if we follow the word, then we will hold on to that which is good. If you're not sure, pack it, put it on the shelf and wait. But do not quench the Spirit. Do not quench the Spirit. When you get the word, we should also record it. You've all got the recording now on your WhatsApp phones. It says Habakkuk 2:2. Then the Lord said, record the vision. This is what we get all through scripture. When God speaks in one way or another, we are told to record it. Revelation 1:19, John said, write the things down which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be there hereafter. We've got to write things down. We've got to record it. Because as human beings, we only remember so much. Initially, when you get a word, something, you remember some things, and then later on, I was given prophetic words, and then it would be several years later, I would read it again. And then I would see another layer and another layer, which was a great benefit to me in decision making. This can be down to very practical levels. Jeannie had given a word And this was like the first time that she was in our house. I came home from work and she said, I've got a prophetic word for you. And then she starts to prophesy. And so I had never had such an impactful word personally before. And then years later, several of our friends were saying, you know, why don't you build an extension upstairs in your house? And this joiner who was from another denomination, he said, you've got all that space up there. You ought to use that space. So then, as it turned out, with my job, I was working really strange hours. And then I said to Melvin, I need a big office. Now I really need a big office. So we considered, should we do the extension upstairs, you see? And then we got the architect and everything. And then when the prices came in, I thought, oh no. I thought, this is just too extravagant. To be honest, this is what I'm thinking inside my head, you see? I'm thinking, no, this is going to be far too expensive. This is too extravagant for us to do this. But then when I looked up at the prophetic word, it just hit me. The Lord said, you will be like the Shunammite woman. I thought, what does she do in the Bible? Well, it says in the scripture, she said to her husband, let's build a room for the prophet upstairs, and there'll be a bed, and there'll be a desk, and there'll be... I thought, the Lord already knew that I would come and I would stumble at, should we do this or not? But then the prophetic word said, the Lord already knew that, and said, no, do it. And they just pushed aside all uncertainty. And so we went ahead, and there's lots of prophetic people and prophets have been staying upstairs in our room, Jan being one of them, yes? So, you see how good our God is, that He gives that, He knows where we will be uncertain, and we need that little bit of extra encouragement. He knows that, and so He speaks, and sometimes He speaks years in advance. And then He quickens it by the Holy Spirit. And then you know, yeah, this is God's will. Once you know it's God's will, you don't worry about money. It's a different thing altogether. I was just concerned that we were being too extravagant, you see. But see, in the kingdom, there's no lack. Amen. Praise God. So you record it, and then you read it again, and you read it again, and you warfare over it. In scripture, there are many examples where God spoke to people and it took years before it came to pass. I think that's worth reminding ourselves of for the words that we have for Life Center. It can take a long time. And what happens in that meantime is that God is working and chipping away at our character. Eh? He's working on us. He's molding us. He's correcting us. He's promoting us. He's just working on us. It can take a long time. David tended sheep for many years after being told that he was going to be king. How could he be king? He's just looking after sheep. And so there's many, many examples like that. Jehu received specific instruction in his anointing as king as what to do. And so, yeah, there's just many examples. So, as Christians, we must be willing to judge ourselves. Because, you see, if we have wrong attitudes, that can actually be a hindrance to the fulfillment of God's will in our lives and the fulfillment of the prophetic word. So we should be judging ourselves. That's why the psalmist says, cleanse my heart, search my heart. Because if we have the wrong attitude, if we have the wrong way of thinking, it can be a stumbling block, you see? And we all work in progress, every one of us. Every one of us, we're just work in progress. And when something happens in circumstance, sometimes we fall back a bit, and then the Lord works on us again. So we need to examine our hearts. If you've got a negative mindset, if we've got too inflated view of ourselves, or if we've got too low self-image, if we're forgetting that we're made in the image of God. So these can all be things that will influence us. If we are grumbling, Look at the people of Israel. I mean, how many years they walked in that desert? They had the promise, but they kept grumbling. Let us be people that have a grateful heart. We were singing it with a grateful heart. Let's be grateful to the Lord, and let's try not to grumble. Because sometimes when we grumble, usually it's because there are real issues at stake. But grumbling is not the answer.
Amen.
Complaining is not the answer. But let's have grateful hearts to the Lord, because He is always faithful. A biblical example of a person that really needed to judge himself was King Saul. He's an example, though. He had the promise of the Lord. He chose to do things his own way. That be a warning to us. We have to wait patiently on the Lord. Isaiah 40 says, wait patiently upon the Lord. The waiting is an active and expectant faith, allowing God to form a character in the process. All the men and women of God in Scripture, they were tested first before they were given and stepped into their dynamic ministries. Every one of them were tested. So we should expect that that will happen to us as well. Now, Jeannie, who many of you know that used to come, she always said, when you're given a prophetic word, take a piece of paper, put three columns. In the first column, write down, what are the conditions? Many prophetic words have conditions. If you follow me and do, then I will. You see, so there's a condition. If we're following the Lord, if we go our own way, then we've not met the condition. So there's always a condition. And if that's not a condition in the prophetic word, then the general word of God stands, as in you're walking with the Lord and your eyes are fixed on Jesus, you see? Because if you're walking out in the world, I've got friends that receive prophetic words, and then the person turned around and said, huh, how is that going to happen? That's not faith. That's not faith. So the first column is, what are the conditions? The second column is, what is the promise? What's God saying? What's His promise to me? What's His promise to the church? And then the third column is, what's my ministry? What am I supposed to be doing? So there's clarity. What am I supposed to be doing? What's the promise from God? What's the condition? So that we get some kind of clarity on what has been spoken. Once you have that clarity, it makes it easier to do what the Scripture tells us, which is warfare on the word. When we are given a word, we have a responsibility. Yes, there's a lot of it we can't make happen, but we have to cooperate with the Lord. Yes? We cooperate with Holy Spirit. If you could show 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I unto you, a son Timothy, according to the prophecy which went before on thee, that by them mightiest war a good warfare. King James. King James says, war a good warfare. And if we read in another translation, it says, this command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight. You fight the good fight, you warfare. It's, do you hear these words? These are active words. These are not passive. So when we are given the promises, and you're given the promises, and then God tells you and starts to reveal what your ministry and what your calling is, you don't stay passive. You have to warfare it. You have to fight for it to happen. You have to pursue it. You have to cooperate and walk with God in it. We have all different roles in the kingdom. We're all unique. And we're not the same. And so God has given us each unique function. Paul talks about that as a body. You know, the nose doesn't do the job of the ears and doesn't do the job of the knees. And they're all so different. So whatever the Lord says he wants for you at this particular chapter of your life, warfare it. Warfare it. Last year at one of the Pentecost together, Kenny said to Melvin and me, he said, can you share at the meeting, the joint meeting? And we sat down and we spent the whole meeting just testifying of prophetic words that God has given us in our personal lives and how it's come to pass or not to pass. We spent the whole sermon was a testimony just about the different words. And we started with a word that we got at our wedding a couple of days before or after, as we were all gathered. A brother stood up and started to prophesy over us about our lives. This is before, way before internet and everything else. But it was recorded on one, you know, these old tape things? Not even cassette tape, it was the one before that. That's how old we are. Yeah, that's how old we are. It was recorded. But we remember that word. It's a big reel, you know. If you chew up the tape, you've lost your word. But in this word, the Lord told us about, and at the time, we thought, okay, we embrace the word and we're praying into it. And then it was about 2 years later, I was a student at university. Melvin had his first job after graduating. And then we got an invitation to join something called Teen Missions, to go to the US and travel and do promotion work all through different churches and Christian organizations. And we were quite attracted to this idea, but it was quite difficult to do financially. And for me, I thought, I have to step out of university for a whole year. And we were just praying, should we? God, is this what you want us to do? Then we remembered the prophetic word. And then when we remembered the prophetic word, we thought, this prophetic word sounds like exactly what we will be doing as we go around. And so we went ahead. We went ahead. You see how God gives a prophetic word so that when you come to that crossroad, you've got enough clues to know whether to go that way or that way. God is so gracious. And so he made the way, even financially, he made the way. Yeah, it was tough, but he made the way for us, you see? And so this has been our lives. Our lives is a testimony to the faithfulness of God, that he has given us words, and this has carried on into our church life. That everywhere where we've gone, people turn around and say, was this your idea to go there? No. No. It's the Lord. Don't you understand? It's his church. And God will judge us based on how we react to his instructions. We have to be obedient to his instructions. Not just obedient, but we get on board and we warfare for it and we fight for it. And we press into the spirit world for that to come to pass. I'll give you an example from my own life, what not to do, okay? It's from my own life, so I'm not shaming somebody else. We used to have house groups in our house, and Richard might remember this because he was at this particular meeting. So I got, this is, we were practicing giving prophetic words to each other, and then I got this word, you'll be leading worship, and I thought, oh, I love worship. I didn't think any more about it. And then at that time, we had quite a lot of young people that were leading worship. We had Sarana, we had Joanna, we had Gail and Morgan, and then we had Melvin, we had lots of people. Do you know what happened? One by one, they all They all left the church and moved elsewhere. One of them started living in America, one of them moved to Glasgow, somebody else moved, and then Melvin took not well, and then suddenly we were to have a meeting, and I had a guitar. I had not played the guitar for 30 years. I have not played the guitar for 30 years. I was in deep trouble. And Lisanna said, "Mom," she said, "you should have picked up that guitar the moment you got the word. You should have picked up that guitar." And she was so right. She was so right. Because when you've not played an instrument for 30 years, you know, a lot of it's gone. And I'm speaking to these stiff fingers, "Come on, you can do it. And I'm having to look up how to do the chords. I'm not much of a guitarist, but the point is, God was gracious. He actually said, "Come on." But I just thought, "Oh, that's a nice word." It's not just a nice word. It's a strong hint. Come on, go and get ready. So if the Lord says to you, "You're going to be prophesying," better sign up for prophet school right away then. Don't hang back. If the Lord says you to evangelize your street, go to the evangelism class. Buy all the tracts. Get ready. We have to cooperate with the word. But sometimes, like me, it's just like, "Oh, that's a nice word." It's not that I disbelieved it, but I didn't get into action mode, which we are supposed to do. So what are the two things that we need to do when we get the word? We need to work by faith. Faith. If we are in unbelief, we've already cancelled the prophetic word. Sometimes even you can see when a prophetic word is given and the person is just, you know, like almost ignoring it. And you think, doesn't look like there's a lot of faith there. It's faith. Faith is the currency of heaven, right? Faith. Faith is really important. Let's look at Hebrews 4:2. "For indeed, the good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened." So if we don't receive the word in faith, so as a church, we want to receive the word of the Lord in faith and be in unity in faith, so that the word can be fulfilled. And the second thing apart from faith is obedience. And obedience means action. I should have got that guitar right? It's just a small example, but you get the point. So whatever the Lord says, we've got to think of action. Remember Jesus at the wedding in Cana, and Mary said to the people, "Whatever he says, do it." It's in John 2:5. Whatever he says, do it. So this is how we cooperate with the word. Whatever the Lord gives us instructions, do it. In Romans 16:26, "For by the prophetic scriptures made known to all nations, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, for obedience to the faith." Obedience to the faith. So it's not passive, it's active. Being obedient. When God speaks, we cooperate, we are active, we fight the good fight. So the words that we have about our next location is very, very clear. And next Sunday, we'll be showing you some of the prophetic words that's made it really, really, extremely explicit, clear. So we want to be together in unity of faith. In unity of faith. And then we press in for that. Now remember what we learned from Daniel. What was Daniel told? The first day, "We heard you." His prayer was heard on day one, but there was a delay. Why? Because there's a spiritual battle going on. Come on. Why would God give extensive prophetic words if it was just going to happen just like that? There would be no need. When he gives us prophetic words, it's usually because there's a battle ahead in order to accomplish that. There's a battle for you to enter into your God-given destiny. There's a battle for you to enter into what God really has for you. Remember that. Don't take opposition as, oh, you know, maybe it's not God's will. No, no, no. It's because the enemy doesn't want you to be in the rightful position. But by the grace of God, we will get there. We will. We will. His word does not fail. We just cooperate. We cooperate. We prepare ourselves. We fight the good fight. We stand together in unity. We press in. And we keep asking for the leading of the Holy Spirit, anything else we need to do. And we stand in faith, we proclaim the word of God. When you're given a word, you keep proclaiming it. Why? Because it activates your faith. It's not that God, God's not deaf. He has no memory loss, but we do. We do. And we can waver. So we proclaim it and we speak it. We speak it out for our benefit and for the benefit of the spiritual forces that they hear the word of the Lord. Our response to our destiny word should be like young Mary in Luke 1:38, and Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word." Let it be according to your word. Let's use all of our prophetic words as a spiritual weapon to enter into the destiny that God has for us. Amen.